It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Wisconsin DNR is considering a change for commercial and recreational trout fishing in Lake Superior. The goal would be to allow lake trout quota updates to match up with fish population changes in the lake.
The current process for setting limits could take a while to put into practice. The proposed changes aim to allow speedier updates to keep up with those changes in the fish population.
So what does all this mean for people who fish, who eat those fish, and for the local economies connected with the industry?
Brad Ray is Lake Superior Fisheries Supervisor with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Brad, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you.
And Sharon Moen is a food fish outreach coordinator with Wisconsin Sea Grant, a statewide program dedicated to stewardship and sustainable use of the nation's Great Lakes and ocean resources. Sharon, thanks for joining us.
I'm happy to be here.
Brad, let's start with these changes. Gave a very broad overview. What is the DNR looking at changing when it comes to how we count our trout and then set those fishing guidelines?
Yeah, so the main point of this change is we're going to use the methodology in the rule as opposed to the actual number. And so we'll be able to go to the Natural Resource Board and kind of expedite the process to them having approved quotas, as opposed to currently what we have to go through is the whole rule change every time we adjust that actual number that's in the rule.
Now, for people who fish recreationally or commercially or want to fish commercially, what would be the impact of this change?
So on the recreational side, with the current quota change, it's actually going up. And so there's going to be less chance of a closing the season early. So we have a lake trout quota for the recreational side, and that quota, if we meet that over the course of the year, we close that fishery early. So with this increase that we're thinking that the population is doing really well, so we can increase that, there's less chance of us closing the fishery early. On the commercial side, obviously they'll be able to catch more fish as well, but how we regulate the whitefish, which is the primary commercial target, they'll actually be able to catch more whitefish. Because they'll be able to use more effort because of the lake trout, of how we manage that population.
Sharon, you watch these issues, both the sustainability of fish in the lakes, but also making sure people have access to fish when the numbers are good. What do you make of these changes? They may sound subtle to people not familiar with this. What do you see as the potential impact here?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that we have a world-class fishery, both commercially and recreationally, and that includes the charter captains, and that it's because of the great management that, not only the Great Lakes Fisheries Commission, but also, the Wisconsin DNR have been able to execute, and that this rule change will allow the DNR to be more nimble in responding to changes in the fish population. Because I don't know if the listeners know, but in 2022, there was this Cisco boom that a record number of Cisco were hatched in the lake. And so we have just these great restoration stories to tell, and that, our citizens can benefit from this.
You mentioned another fish that I've mentioned, the lake trout. That's more of a household word. Cisco, I admit, Sharon, I went online to look at the Cisco. I couldn't pick it out of a lineup. For those like me not familiar, talk about the Cisco and our commercial and recreational fishing for it.
Yeah, so many people know it as tulipy or lake herring. It has a number of different names, bluefin, but it's more of a middle of the food web kind of fish that the lake trout eat. And so we have all these Cisco now. And so the lake trout are getting to be record sizes because they're just gorging on all these Ciscos that are out there. And again, locally, you might know them as lake herring.
Brad, can you talk a little bit about what it takes to set the right balance? When we see a big jump in numbers, like say for Cisco or other fish, how do we then set our harvest guideline, if I could use the word, to make sure that we don't overcorrect and bring those numbers back down to a too low level?
Yeah, that's a good question. And so what we have is we have a set of different population models that we do independent data collection. So the DNR is out there aboard the RV Hacknoise, collecting data independently of the fisheries. We also collect data from the commercial industry and the recreational side. And we're able to get that fishery dependent, the commercial and recreational side data, as well as the fishery independent, our assessments, and create a population model that kind of tracks each of the populations. So we have a population model for whitefish, we have a population model for lake trout, and we're working on a new management strategy population model for Cisco. And this increase that Sharon just mentioned of the 2022 year class is really going to help learn a lot about what's going on. This unprecedented size, Lake Superior hasn't seen anything this big. The biggest that we're even talking about close is back from the 70s. And so we have, we work really close with our tribal partners on the cooperative management of this, and we're monitoring the population. And that means we have a good idea of what we think's out there. It's hard to count every single fish, but we have a good idea what's out there. We know what's coming out. And then what we're hoping for is the perfect conditions to pull off a year class like it did in 2022 that can ripple through the population. So we have all that food out there that then the predators like lake trout are going to do really well.
We are talking about commercial and recreational fishing and how we manage it in Lake Superior. Brad Ray with us from the state DNR, Sharon Moen from Wisconsin Sea Grant. Sharon, zooming out a bit, when we look at all of our commercial and recreational fishing in Lake Superior, what is the economic impact? What does that mean for our economy, especially in northern Wisconsin?
Oh, you're catching me out on, like, I don't know exact numbers, mm-hmm. but I do know that you know, a lot of our coastal communities were built around fishing. And so if you travel, you know, from Superior, Wisconsin to the other edge of Lake Superior through Cornucopia and then to the Bad River area, these towns rely on fishing. And most of the whitefish that they catch and fish that they catch is consumed locally. And this type of thing supports the communities that they're in, but also the health and well-being of the people who eat these products because of, you know, Lake Superior just has such spectacular water. And the fish that come out of it are healthy and really good for you. A lot of omega-3 fatty acids because it is a cold lake. So the omega-3s kind of build up in their system. So it's economically so important for these small communities like Bayfield and Cornucopia and Red Cliff.
And Brad, as Sharon mentioned, the water quality in Lake Superior, mostly we're talking about, you know, managing fish populations based on how many fish we take out. But how about concerns about you know, the future of water quality, water temperatures with climate change, invasive species? Are there any of those things lurking on the horizon that you watch as we set our quotas?
Obviously, the big invasive species that everybody might have heard of is sea lamprey, and sea lamprey are still an issue in the Great Lakes. We work with our federal partners on sea lamprey control, and they do a great job of kind of suppressing those. But we did see a little uptick after COVID when they weren't able to get out as much. And so we were monitoring that to see if those numbers come back down after that little uptick of mistreatments in 2020. We saw in Lake Superior high numbers of sea lamprey both in 2023 and again in 2024. And so that's still going to be a concern because those sea lamprey are actually that end up being the top predator in the system and attack our lake trout and our lake whitefish and even our Cisco. They'll attack and consume those fish. And obviously conditions matter, and we saw less harvest recreational of lake trout last year because we didn't have ice. And so the perfect conditions that were in 2022 were a long, little bit colder winter, good ice conditions, slow warm up into June. And those perfect conditions, those are going to be hard to control. And so as climate change becomes an issue, we are going to have to be nimble and be able to adapt to how that affects these cold water fish species.
Sharon, I know historically we've seen in ocean fishing some cases of over-harvesting in the commercial fishing industry. You work, I understand, with commercial fishers in Lake Superior on sustainability issues. Can you talk a little bit about those conversations and how they're working to not over-harvest their livelihood?
Correct. Well, they are all interested, I mean, the tribal fisheries as well as the state licensed fisheries, in not overfishing. They have children they want to pass their businesses to, and they're part in I think every case I can think of, a long line of commercial fishing families. So they really respect the resource. And though, you know, they might argue with Brad sometimes, they respect the DNR and their ability to manage the fish so they can have these amazing products to sell. So that being said, the industry has been green rated, at least our Wisconsin Commercial Fisheries, World Wildlife Fund, Sweden has gave it the green light. So, you know, the Cisco season is coming up, and that is where the they call it Great Lakes Gold caviar comes from. So the Cisco fisheries is about ready to start. And then also the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch has re-ranked our fisheries as green, which means best choice because of the way they're sustainably managed and harvested. So, I mean, our fishers are doing a great job of following the rules and responding to, you know, the DNR changes. I think
Brad, what's the timeline for the change and how we set these quotas?
Yep. So we have a hearing on the rule change on November 5th. Then in December, we'll take the rule to the Natural Resources Board. If it gets approved there, it will go through the legislative review and hopefully be in place by March of 2025, March or April.
We'll leave it there. Brad, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Sharon, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
Sharon Moan is the Food Fish Outreach Coordinator with Wisconsin Sea Grant. Brad Ray, Lake Superior Fisheries Supervisor with Wisconsin's DNR. And again, a hearing on those changes coming up on Tuesday, November 5th.